Well, more countries on the African continent starting to report on their coronavirus cases. We have reports now out of Eritrea. The country's Ministry of Information reporting that a 39-year-old Eritrean man had tested positive. He has permanent residence in Norway and flew back to Eritrea on Saturday morning via Fly Dubai. In Uganda, a 36-year-old Ugandan man who arrived in the country on Saturday after taking an Ethiopian Airlines flight from Dubai has coronavirus. That's according to the country Ministry of Health, saying that the patient's symptoms included high fever and poor appetite. In Angola, two men who traveled through Lisbon in Portugal arrived on 17th and 18th of March have tested positive for coronavirus. Angola's health minister, Silvia Lutukuta, said both live in the country's capital, Luanda. They are aged 36 and 38. Algeria, the president there announcing a series of measures, including stopping all mass transport within cities and between states. It is temporarily closing cafes and restaurants in big cities, the state-run news agency SPA reported. Algeria has 139 coronavirus cases and 15 deaths, according to the Ministry of Health. In South Africa, we have 240 confirmed cases of coronavirus, 74 of which are in the Western Cape. Well, South Africa is one of 10 countries involved in an urgent global trial announced by the World Health Organization to identify the most effective treatment for the coronavirus. And the leader of South Africa's efforts are Professor Helen Rees, head of the Vets Reproductive Health and HIV Institute, as well as chair of the World Health Organization's Immunization Advisory Group for Africa. And she joins me on the line now. Helen, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa.
In layman's term, please, what is going to be involved in the search, I suppose, for the most effective treatment for the coronavirus?
Yes. Well, as you can imagine, since the coronavirus outbreak started, and starting in China, clinicians and researchers have been desperate to find treatments that will either stop the infection progressing to become worse and stop the deaths that we've been seeing. So the World Health Organization has developed a series of global studies, protocols we call it, which people can participate in, countries can participate in, and they're encouraging countries to sign up. Now, the treatment one is seen as the most urgent because, of course, when the outbreak starts, this is what everyone is very nervous about, that people flood into health services. And that, the healthcare workers are desperate to be able to do things for their patients. So that is what's under discussion. And eight of our faculties of health sciences and some of our top clinicians and researchers in hospitals are looking at this protocol now to see whether this is something they feel that they can do in a South African setting.
By protocol, what do you mean, Helen? Is it a case of, should Africa test positive for COVID-19, these are the steps that we are going to follow in obviously looking to treat him? Is it trialing any kind of vaccine that may or may not be available on the patients that have tested positive for COVID-19 in South Africa?
Yeah. So let me clarify. These are research. And we call, when you have a description of how you're going to do a research study, we call that a protocol. That's very different from what the NICD and the Department of Health are putting out, which are giving guidance to healthcare workers. This is at the moment what we think is best practice. So with research, what we're looking at are products, either old products that might have an activity against this new virus, or even new products. So in this particular protocol that WHO is suggesting at the moment and that colleagues are looking at, we're looking at four different types of treatment. Some are old medicines and one is a new medicine that's under investigation. That's separate to a vaccine trial. A vaccine trial is further down the line, and WHO is also looking at that, and we're obviously, that would be something that everyone will be very, very keen to participate in, because in the medium term, the quicker we can get a vaccine to stop infections, the better. But at the moment, the focus is on which of these old medicines and new medicines, what is the best way to treat patients? And this is what this study is going to be looking at.
Is there any hope, any hypotheses, I suppose, that you as scientists and researchers are sharing that perhaps in some of the medicines that already exist, having treated, I imagine, previous forms of coronaviruses, that there might be some hope that something might come out of there? Or is it too early for me to be asking this question?
There's certainly hope, but hope is different to proof. And in medicine, when we make a recommendation about that a medicine can be used for an indication, we really need clinical evidence. And in this case, we need it as quickly as possible. So there's hope. And you're quite right. Some of the medicines that have been looked at are products that have shown either some activity against the previous SARS and MERS, these are other coronavirus outbreaks that we know about, but a lot of them have shown that activity in the laboratory, not yet in clinical settings. There are beginning to be some studies with some of these products coming out. They're small studies, but one or two of them are quite encouraging. But what we need as quickly as possible for the whole globe is to have a big study with many countries participating so that we can speed up trying to get these answers. One of the problems is that if lots of sites do different studies and they do them by themselves, it'll take much longer and the numbers will be smaller. So WHO's aim in this is to get lots of participating countries and then get answers as quickly as we possibly can so that we can start to address the need for treatment in hospitals.
It goes without saying that the ethical issues, obviously, that often come with any search for new treatment will be paramount and top of mind for all the researchers involved in this process.
That's absolutely correct. And one of the things that we've done is we have a draft protocol. And as I say, colleagues around the country in our academic hospitals are looking at it over the weekend and deciding if this is something that they can manage, can participate in, and is correct for their setting. So that is what's happening this weekend. But in parallel to that, the SAHPRA, which is our drug regulatory authority, and the heads of some of our key ethics committees are jointly reviewing the draft protocol that WHO has produced. So we're trying to be as fast and as rapid as possible in our response to this. So the ethics and the drug regulatory side of things are being looked at this weekend as well.
I believe that the second core global protocol that we're involved in is about the pre-exposure prophylaxis. Does that speak to work being done for the vaccine where you expose, ordinary folk to safe traces of the virus in order for them to build immunity to obviously fight COVID-19 should it reach them?
So around the world, one of the big priorities is to try and find out if there are some medicines, this is now not a vaccine, that's separate again, but some medicines that we can give people who we know will be highly exposed. And that would include our healthcare workers. I think one of our biggest priorities has to be to keep all of our healthcare workers safe. So there are a number of big studies being proposed. Some have started, and South Africa is in dialogue on one large study, and there might be others. And again, this will be a global study involving the more developed countries, less developed countries as well. And the aim will be to see whether some of the medicines that are currently available, so we're not looking at new medicines, we're looking at can we repurpose existing medicines, some of those medicines, to see if we can demonstrate that they can protect people who are highly exposed. And so that's another study that's in urgent discussion as well.
Helen, the reality is, I suppose, as life continues, we will be exposed to more and more of these forms and types of viruses that require the world to work together. I am pleased as a South African, as a person of, you know, who's alive at the moment, that there are so many of these studies and protocols being researched by a variety of researchers working together to look for a common solution. I really like what I'm hearing.
You're absolutely right. And I think this is something that all the scientists recognize. You know, the places like China, which were, of course, had the first outbreak, and places that are much better resourced, such as the United States, they are doing particular studies looking at new drugs. But the aim would be that, you know, whoever can get there first, if we can find new drugs, but if we can find drugs that are more easily accessible, existing drugs, that the world should be able to benefit, not just one country or richer countries. The aim would be that we find these solutions collectively, and very much under discussion is, if we find things that work, how do we ensure that everyone can have benefit? Because one of the other concerns is that we don't want to see stockpiling of drugs in certain countries, thus denying, and this would affect the African region in particular, but just denying access to poorer countries if we start to find things that look like they can be either protective or curative.
Another impossible question, I suppose, is around timeframes, because the advantage we've had, particularly in the Southern African region, is time. We only started reporting cases of the coronavirus much later than certainly China or Europe have done. And we're only now starting to see, for example, the numbers growing quite exponentially in South Africa compared to what is happening in Italy, where nearly 800 people died just yesterday, which is scary. The more time we can buy in you and me doing what we are instructed to do, which is to stay at home, cancel all unnecessary travel, take the necessary measures, you know, washing your hands, using hand sanitizer if you have access to that, and all of those kind of things. The more we can delay that, the more time we can buy you as researchers, you know, to get to a solution that could be used for potential treatment.
That is correct. And we want to buy time also because, and I'm sure many people will have heard the language, we want to flatten this curve. If we have a steep increase in cases that goes up very, very rapidly, then our health services are going to be totally overwhelmed. And that's the kind of situation that Italy has been facing. So we need to try and flatten that curve. And listening to your previous speaker as well, that message of individual responsibility and physical distancing. I think WHO is now saying, let's not call it social distancing, because we can all talk to each other on phones, on WhatsApp and so on. Let's call it physical distancing. That is so important. And we've got to get that message out to everybody, including our young people as well, because that is the thing that is going to slow the impact of this outbreak. If we don't do that, we are going to have a very steep increase in cases, and our hospitals are really going to be struggling.
Well, Helen, we wish you and your colleagues all the best in this time. Professor Helen Rees, thank you very much for your time, head of the Wurtz Reproductive Health Institute, as well as chair of the World Health Organization's Immunization Advisory Group for the continent of Africa.